We live in a world of tremendous diversity. We share streets, apartment buildings, classrooms, and job sites with others who have different life experiences, heritage, political thoughts, and religious practices. To ignore these would be a shame, because they can teach us so much about the world around us and ourselves. This kind of diversity shouldn't be something that's used to demean or shame, but rather it's an opportunity to seek a deeper understanding of the world around us and what we personally believe. And so over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking and reflecting at some of the practices of our neighbors of other faiths and how they might grant us a deeper understanding of our own personal faith. Now, the goal of comparative religions isn't to pick and choose what we want and what we want to leave at the table like a religious buffet, but rather to make some space where God might dwell through the conversations and interactions with other religious practices. One example of this is my love for contemplative prayer and how it began because of a conversation I had with a couple of Buddhist monks that I met while I was mountain biking and they were hiking. It led me down a pathway of discovery of contemplative prayer in the Christian tradition that is something that I cherish today. And so as we begin this conversation, there are three rules that I'd encourage you to keep in mind when we talk about and enter into the world of comparative religions. Now, these rules were set out by a Swedish bishop and professor, Kister Stendahl, and he wrote them down so that we might not take away from unduly other practices, as well as not seeing the grass is always greener on the other side. And so the first one is that when we're trying to understand another religion, you should always ask the adherents of that religion and not its enemies. It makes sense, right? Talk to the people that practice it, not the ones that think it's terrible. Secondly, don't compare your best to their worst. And then finally, here's a great one. Leave room for holy envy. It's this third rule that captured the attention and imagination of author and priest Barbara Brown Taylor, who recently wrote a book entitled Holy Envy. In turn, after reading that book, it's that spirit that then informs our conversation for the next few weeks. My hope is that we might make some space in our hearts and our minds for God to work in a way that can cause a kind of holy envy to spark curiosity within each and every one of us, and that we might explore ways in which we can become more deeply committed disciples of Jesus while fostering a rich faith. And so today, we're going to explore a little bit of the holy envy that I've felt when in conversation and observation with some of my Jewish and Muslim friends. Both of these faith traditions do a great job of keeping God at the forefront of their minds because of some outward practices that make it hard to miss opportunities to refocus our vision and our day back on God. Right? Kind of like leaving a note or something in front of the front door so that we can't forget it when we leave. And so that's where we are today. And as we read our scripture today, we're called then to write God's law on our heart. And as Christians, Jesus fulfills the law and therefore the need for food laws and a whole other host of other commands that cause our faith to be lived as an outward expression of faithfulness. This is great. The new covenant that Jesus brings changes the way that we interact with our Christian faith. However, there is this tendency to individualize and internalize our faith and the practices of being a follower of Jesus. Now, the risk of internalizing these practices comes at the potential expense of the rich external signs that pull us back to God. In essence, an internal faith might fall victim to the atrophy of having God being out of sight and out of mind. If we don't have things out there that are tangible and touchable and smellable and all of that, then we're just living our faith in our head. Well, we might miss out. And so here's where that holy envy comes in. Our first scripture calls the people of God to write the commands on their doorposts and teach them to their children so that God will not be forgotten. And thus, the mezuzah was born. Now, let's take a look at this physical reminder of what is this powerful piece of faith in the Jewish tradition. While individual Jewish homes hang a mezuzah, Muslim cities have a different way of reminding the residents to focus back on God throughout their day. The Adhan, or Muslim call to prayer, rings out 5 times a day to stop people in their tracks for a time of prayer. I love what author and pastor Brian Zand writes about his experience for the first time when he encountered this in Jerusalem. He says, "In the secular post-Christian West, we have nothing like this call to prayer. The best we can manage is kind of clandestinely bowing our heads for 10 seconds in a restaurant and hope that nobody notices. We don't call people to prayer. But in the Islamic world, I found a religious culture that publicly calls people to prayer 5 times a day. I was envious of a society that holds to a religious tradition where prayer is taken seriously and is attended to in a prescribed manner," he writes. So when I heard the Adhan, I wistfully think, I wish we had something like that. Powerful words, that's holy envy. You know, these communal calls to prayer center us on God while also creating a kind of shared experience that binds us not just as a child of God, but as a community of the beloved. And I know that these are just 2 examples of how our Jewish and Muslim brothers and sisters have public and visible touchstones of their faith that draw them back into connection with God. And so that leads us today to the question of, as a follower of Jesus, in what ways are we making sure that we are being tripped up by God throughout our day in hopes that we can stay connected with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer? My hope is that there are things that I can put in my path of my day that help me reset and focus on God. In preparation for this message, I noticed some church bells ringing while I was on my run and took the opportunity to pause the podcast that I was listening to. And for the next few minutes or so while I was running, I used that time to pray, to recenter, and to refocus. I don't know about you, but I need God to trip me up all the time so that I can refocus and set my face to what matters most. I don't want God to be out of sight and out of mind. And so the challenge for each of us for the next 2 weeks is to try something that gets in your path to help you refocus on God. And let me know what that might be for you on your next step sheet, or send me an email about what you might be trying, and I'll check in with you from time to time just to see how it's going. We can hold one another accountable. You know, these practices could be as simple as having calls to prayer from our phones. Simply just add a couple of alarms to your phone and use those reminders as time to pray and refocus. Or maybe changing the background on your laptop to be a Bible verse that you're trying to memorize. Or perhaps wearing a bracelet or a cross in a way that's a little bit more visual. Take a look at Numbers 15:37 for an example of a Jewish prayer belt that God calls the people to wear. Perhaps you might listen to an audio Bible while you're going on your morning walk or your drive to work. You know, in our house, we have this window cling of a daily prayer on our bathroom mirror that helps us focus as we begin our day. No matter what you choose to do, share it and try to make it a routine so that you might be tripped up by God daily and stumble into the arms of Jesus. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, we give you thanks for the way in which you call us back to yourself, refocusing us in ways that then allow us to live with purpose, hope, and connection. God, in all that we do and all that we are, as we seek to deepen our discipleship, allow us to have conversations with friends of other faith so that we might then spark curiosity within our own faith practices so that we can see you and be with you more fully. God, it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.